it on the phone.
I'm not sure if Fung's going to be able to call in. He's out of town.
Okay. Oh, Charlie's here. All right, we got one. All right. Hello?
Hi, Ed.
Yep. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Okay. How many we got?
Oh, we're still waiting on a few.
Okay. I just want to go ahead and I just got off a past conference call with their nutrition subcommittee.
Yep.
And Hannah Kinney proposed on behalf of the of that subcommittee to potentially have, you know, when the two when PAST and CFAS are meeting together on the evening of either June 11th or June 12th to have a nutrition summit.
Okay, we'll have to do it the 11th.
Yeah. Okay, the 11th.
Nutrition summit.
That I assume Carl, I mean, would be critical for that.
Right.
As he's actually involved in both.
Okay. All right. So I have myself. Is Michael here? Nope. All right. Andy's here. Bill Barnett. We don't know. Charlie's here.
Yes.
Fung is out of town. Kathy? Tim? Bay, Susan.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay, well, I was kind of hoping Michael and Kathy would get on here. All right, well, we could start. Just a few items of business. Jill, how's the meeting coming along?
We've got the hotel contract into the up at the foundation. We're just waiting to hear back from them with that they've sent it to the hotel, and then I'll be able to send out a code for how to make your reservations.
Okay. Someone else just joined us?
Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Ed.
We just started.
Okay.
Jill is just you'll get some information probably within a week or so about how to make your hotel reservation for the meeting.
Okay.
I do have a question, though, with what Dr. Warren just said. If there's going to be something for people to attend on the 11th, that might change the number of people who need hotels that night.
Jill Pass will handle their own room, so.
Dr. Riley, I mean for the people that would be staying on past the adjournment time that you'd get given.
Okay. Well, we'll have to send out an email about it. I'll talk to Ken later today and discuss who we want at that nutrition summit. And then we can make the rooms, all right? We'll find out who's going to be there, and then we'll contact them. I think Bill Barnett sent out an email to everybody that there's now a wiki available on a website that's housed at Indiana, and people should feel free to use that for a discussion of anything that they want to do via a wiki rather than via a conference call.
Hi, Ed.
Hey, it's Michael.
Michael, how are you?
Good, you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, so everybody, Fung's out of town, so and Tim we haven't heard from, so.
Okay.
We don't know what he's doing, but everybody else is here.
Good.
Within the next week or two, you'll get some more information on the hotels for the meeting in June. And Ken mentioned that Hannah Kinney would like on the night of the 11th to have a nutrition summit, a combination PAST project, CFAS project. And so those are the only two items that we've discussed so far. I was just mentioning that Bill Barnett has created a wiki that people can use if they don't want to do conference calls, if they want an online type of discussion on any particular topic. And hopefully, I know he sent out an email to everybody about it. He also added some nice things about links to everybody's email address, et cetera. So he did a nice job in putting that together. Let's see. Oh, Jennifer, on the last conference call, we talked about how the web pages were being updated. Could you, you know, if all that's happened?
Yes, I think that we have everybody's information. Jill, are we missing anyone's
presentations?
Actually, just mine.
I believe there are two, but they're not from this group.
Okay.
But
so other than that, I think it's everything's been updated with the current information.
All right. So if you want, you can send out a joint email simply by going to the web page, and there should be a link, and you can click on it and send it out to everybody in the basic science group or whatever. The administrative core from the last time has put in the carryover request. We haven't heard back from that, but that would be to continue funding the Keith Miller project and to get Tim Cutt some extra money to do some more scans. Charlie, do you have any information on the banking of the genetic material?
Having been able to get as far as I wanted to, I know you wanted something by 1st of March, had a grant deadline to meet, and I haven't been able to do as much. But we'll have something for you within a week, I think.
Okay.
Haven't gotten enough information back from the people I've inquired to, so I'm going to start calling and putting together the report. While Ken and Susan are on the phone, I wanted to try to go through Ken to talk with Hannah Kenny's group, and was not able to follow up because of my time constraints. But Ken, perhaps after this phone call, sometime in the next day or two, if we could discuss the articulation in terms of this consortium and the past consortium on putting together this recommendation for biomarkers.
Sure.
I'll email you, and then maybe we can set up a time.
Okay.
To coordinate at least a three-way call, if not some form of communication with PATH.
Sure. That'll be fine.
The other thing that I want to do is, if it's okay with you, is specifically talk with Cynthia Bearer about the contents of this as well, and have her voice her opinions. I have extracted some of them from publications, but I want to have her give comments about the general state of biomarkers anyway.
That's fine with me. So anything we can do to facilitate that would be not a problem.
The last thing that I will need, and I think I'll go through Jill on this, is to set up the use of this conference call system probably something like a week from today to do sort of a final discussion.
Yeah, that's
no problem.
A problem.
Okay.
Not a problem. While it's of probably less concern to this group than the clinical group, the dysmorphology database has been gone over with a fine-tooth comb and is currently being updated so that all the mistakes are out of it. We're sure that everybody in there has the right diagnosis, the right thing, and so if anyone uses that database, they're using it right now at their own peril. The new one should be updated probably within a week or so. And Ken Jones's group did a really nice job in going through it line by line. So we hope that that's going to be usable and clean with no problems within another week. One item that's related to that, last time this group brought up the idea of the asymmetries and changes in laterality in some measures. And Ken has always only measured the left papillary fissure. He hasn't measured the right papillary fissure. So there's no way of knowing if there are asymmetries on that measure. He is now going to measure both. And the reason they didn't do it was a mechanical one. It was the ruler that they used, only had it going from left to right. So Jill located a left-handed ruler, and we've ordered those, and that we received them. So now Ken, when he goes to the Ukraine next week, is taking a left-right ruler, so he'll start measuring both palpebral fissure sizes.
Huh, great.
Doing that. And I'm not sure if anyone else has made any progress on any other aspect of the asymmetry type of thing. Just going down my list here of items from the last conference call. I've done nothing about the visiting or the associate members, but I will do that relatively soon and try to get at least one or two people to the next meeting, or perhaps if we want to schedule a conference call on any particular topic, we could get them involved in that. The only remaining item from the last conference call was on the sheep model. Tim is not on the phone, which is a little problematic, but I think last time we talked about doing ultrasounds in the sheep, and I heard from several people about it after the conference call, and I think some people made some good arguments about why we may not want to do it in the same animals that Tim is currently using or raising for his primary study. And the items that I heard about from people were the cost of doing scans, and I don't think that's a problem since we found some money for Tim to do that, although we may want to use that money to do the MRI scans and do them right. Also, the stress of doing these ultrasounds on the prenatal sheep might interfere with subsequent measures on those animals, and so I thought that was a good argument against not doing it. And the other argument was that about the relevancy, is that since we can already do this in the human, what really is going to be added by putting in the sheep model? And we could debate that point. But, for, you know, Charlie, you might want to add something.
Yeah, I do want to mention two things, Ed, to follow up. One, Tim, in an email to me later, said that he was exploring the possible use of ultrasound in ways that may not be as stressful. When I was down there last year, I saw them do ultrasound on sheep that were just sounding to confirm pregnancy, and it really is something out of the Spanish Inquisition when you first look at it. But they have to basically turn them sort of upside down and get their legs splayed forward, and it although the sheep seemed to tolerate it, it seemed somewhat problematic, especially once they start getting bigger in their pregnancy. But he is looking into ways to do it that may not be to see if he can get good quality scans without looking at without inducing as much stress. The point about whether or not this adds anything of scientific merit is really based on the sheep model as proposed and funded is only really looking at one alcohol manipulation, and that is giving a binge-like exposure from in the first trimester compared to binge-like exposures over all three trimesters. And Tim and I both felt that the ultrasound approach in prenatal development would best be done if we had a dose manipulation to look at dose considerations related to whatever we could measure with the ultrasound. And that doing an ultrasound in animals that are getting alcohol into the third trimester was going to be problematic anyway, because they have to be instrumented and the cannulae have to be patent, and that might just be technically a problem. But I would argue that doing these studies, if we do extend into this area, in the context of a dose response analysis in the first trimester, and then looking in as the animals develop into the second and third trimesters, particularly the third trimesters, might be very, very productive and useful. And I don't want to discount that as something that could be done. I just don't think we'd want to
I don't think we'd want to really perhaps compromise the funded project, which is fairly limited, and even now still, you know, it's going to be tough to get everything done with the budgetary funding that we got, with just the prospect of adding on ultrasound that might give us something useful. I would be much more I'd be more cautious in that and want to stick to the basic aims of the funded grant.
Okay. Any comments? Other issues on that?
Tim will be, he is going to be doing things to pursue this, and he can do that, you know, on a limited budget basis, and then if he finds ways that look like this could be added in, I think that's when we bring it back to the committee to discuss.
Okay. I mean, that sounds reasonable to me, and I think the arguments that I got, you know, from several people, I mean, I thought they were persuasive about holding off and trying to include it in the funded project right now. So,
I think that's reasonable also at this point in time. I agree with Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you know, Charlie, if anything has been set up with the camera for the sheep facial imaging?
No, we weren't able to do that yet. I have to talk to Tatiana about that. They have worked out, apparently, they had a day a couple weeks ago where they were working up the new non-laser approach to 3D imaging with humans, and it turned out to be a day that I couldn't join them. So there is the prospects of trying that as an effort to see if we can get a three-dimensional image of the sheep face here. And if we can do it here, probably going to the Indianapolis Zoo and taking some images of the sheep in the petting zoo there, if we can get usable approaches that maybe have to be worked out in a little bit more detail, then I would like to raise the prospect of having a camera down at A&M to put that into the overall effort in the consortium, but we have to make sure that it's going to give usable data before we do that.
Yeah, I know on the clinical call, Tatiana talked about and trying to get images in Indiana,
and that's what we want to do.
I was just wondering if anything had happened with that.
No, the last 2 weeks have been not very productive in terms of the CFAS for me.
Okay.
Had another priority.
How about the on the sheep, the facial hair issue?
We're not sure. It's probably not as much of an issue in the early ages. It is an issue, but we're just not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what they wanted to look at the new camera to do that, because I think the new camera is less susceptible.
That's what they told me, but I didn't get a chance to see how it functioned with humans that had, you know, hair, you know, facial hair and things like that. But if we do, this new camera basically is taking, it's a multi-perspective view, that is what it's doing, so it doesn't even require the laser component to it. And it conceivably could work if we could get the animals to be still in a stanchion for a long enough period of time, which I think we can do. We should be able to get usable data at least at the early ages, if not at the as they grow older.
Well, they were the unfinished business from the last conference call. Is there any new business? No one sent any items for an agenda, so. Andy, anything on the informatics core that we need to know? And I know that you guys have been working hard getting the tablet PC ready for Ken.
Yeah, I could talk about that if you want.
Well,
it's not directly related.
Well, I mean, what the dysmorphology core will now use tablet PCs to enter their data. so that we're sure that every question has to be answered, because they can't go on until they answer the questions, and they have to be within the reasonable range. Some of the issues that we had in the dysmorphology, some people were measuring papules in centimeters, others were doing it in millimeters, and we had to go back and just recheck everything. And so hopefully the tablet PC is going to make their life a little bit easier and then make sure that the data are clean right from the start. And I know that Andy's worked very hard in trying to get this thing operational. I think you sent it out to Ken yesterday.
The tablet PC itself got sent to Ken. Michelle and Leela are still furiously working on the software itself being updated. So Jeff Rogers has been trained on how to get the new software into the tablet PC since he'll be over there.
Okay. So they're leaving for the Ukraine to try it out, I guess, next week.
We did come up with a couple of nice security measures for that and backup measures, which is maybe worth noting for anybody else who's dealing with any kind of security they want to put on local machines. The course of doing this project has raised our knowledge level quite a bit.
All right, so it seems that what we really need to focus on in the next month is to get some report on the genetic banking to find out about the facial imaging in the sheep. Any issues about the mouse strains? I know Fung's not on the call, but Kathy, have you been talking with him at all about?
Yeah, actually where Fung was traveling to was here. He gave a seminar here yesterday, and it gave us a really nice opportunity to get our heads together. They did a set of animals that they sent to us. Unfortunately, they had some problems in transit, and so we didn't get nearly as much data from them as we would have liked. But it looks like they're quite different mice, the two strains. I think that we're going to have to settle on one. And we also discussed the diet regimen that we've been using, because the front end part of that, where you acclimate them, takes 2 weeks, and that's a lot of manpower and a lot of effort. So we're talking about trying to actually not eliminate that acclimation period. We think we need it, but to shorten the acclimation period maybe by a week. So that's something that we're going to do a little pilot on here. We're also going to continue to compare the strains here with a real quick IP injection thing rather than the diet thing, and just see how 5 liters of treated Harlans and 5 liters of treated C57s compare side by side.
All right. So there are real big differences between the Harlans and the Jacksons?
Well, what we saw in the group that Fung sent us was that we didn't see any major craniofacial malformations in any of the Harlans, whereas we saw one obvious holoprosencephaly and one obvious median facial cleft in the C57 black jays in the Jackson lab mice. And we saw more severe eye defects in the jays than in the Harlans as well. But they were really badly damaged, and so we couldn't get nearly the amount of data that we hoped out of that group. So we're going to run another little side-by-side group here.
You're ordering the Harlans.
So. We're going to order the Harlans and do a quick IP thing. And anyway, then that'll be done. Meanwhile, Fung is already growing up some for some day 17s, which will at least start with the AJs and do some MRIs on those, I think.
Do you think you could send around a short summary of the strain differences that you have found it and the problem? And because I'd really like to get the input of Dan and Jim on this.
That would be helpful.
To see what they
can you wait in 2 weeks?
Have.
Can you wait until we do the IP exposure thing? Because the data that we got from this diet thing, what happened was that they were sent on dry ice, and these were all day 14 fetuses that are mostly water, and so they all froze. And then freezing at something that's all water, all the crystals just really do a lot of damage, and mostly they do a lot of damage to that pigmented part of the eye. So we could hardly see the eyes on any of these babies. Anyway, so if you'll just let us do the IP thing, then I'll get all that information to you.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'd like to see what Dan and Jim have to say.
Okay.
Make some suggestions about proceed.
Okay. Will do.
Yes.
And then
there are that big a difference between those two.
Well, I think there are pretty big differences.
Has anyone done like gene arrays on those two different?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Tom Knudsen did gene arrays on them.
And I mean, does he find big differences, or
he found, well, gene arrays?
Yeah.
are hard. You kind of have to narrow it down a little bit and decide what you're looking for. And so what Tom focused on was some mitochondrial gene differences that they have. It's all published.
Yeah. No, I knew that he had done that. I was just wondering in terms of eye development.
Yeah, and in that paper he comments on the fact that we couldn't make eye defects very readily in the Harlins compared to the Jays.
All right. Are there any other new business?
I have one new business. And we've managed to get our very first data on our DTI. And we have noticed for a long time that we have problems in the septal region with the day 7 exposure in mice. And with the MRI work that we've been doing on the day 8, we're thinking we're seeing hippocampal deficiencies on day 8. And then when we did the DTI, the first tracking that we did, one of the easiest tracks to follow in the mice on day 17 was the fornix, which runs from the hippocampus to the septal region, and we just did a control. But it seems to me like knowing that the septal region is a target and knowing that it, at a lot of stages, the hippocampus is a target, one would expect there to be changes in the hippocampus, in the fornix, I'm sorry, which runs from hippocampus to septal region and then on. So my question is, when Sarah, or when your group, Ed, was doing the MRI on kids, did you ever look at the fornix? Is this something that's possible to look at in people?
You know, I think our DTI study showed a change in the fornix, although I'd have to check that.
That would be so cool, because I think it's something that would be hit at a lot of different stages, because the hippocampus is hit at a lot of different stages. And I don't know why. You know, it just seems to me like it's probably as important as the corpus callosum.
Yeah. I mean, there are two studies out now that I know of, maybe three, that have shown the changes in the corpus callosum, but they haven't done whole brain. And we did, and I'm just trying to see if I can locate the paper real quick, and I'll tell you right away if I can find a silly paper.
Ed, I'm going to have to slip away. I've got to go lecture medical students. So
okay.
I had mentioned this to Jill, so I'm sorry I have to cut off. But
yeah, no, I know that.
Just let me know if any questions came up at the end of the conference for me. All right.
All right?
Thanks. Sorry. Bye.
Take care. I got the paper. Let's see. Edit on fornix. It didn't pop up right away, so I'll have to check.
Okay.
Let's see whether front. Got white matter changes innervating the bilateral medial frontal and occipital lobe. God, I thought she had a fornix in there. All right, well, let me check that, and I'll let you know.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Any other new business? Anything from NIAAA?
Not for me. Susan, anything from you?
Nope.
All right. Everybody's on track, I guess. Ken, I need to talk to you later. I'll call you when I get in the office.
Okay. Okay. Right. I'm going to be here. I sent you a note on my time.
Okay. This is about the ISBRA travel award things.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'll send you an updated priority list and then talk about amounts and things.
All right.
I'll give you a call maybe about an hour, hour and a half.
Okay.
I'll check your email. All righty. Well, thank you, everybody, and we'll talk next month. If anyone needs to do specialized conference calls, just let Jill or I know. All right?
We'll do.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye. Bye.